broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts for July 13th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced that the checks and balances put in place by the founders, absolute brilliant move, is the key to success. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. We're not preaching doom and gloom for America, ladies and gentlemen. We know we have problems. We understand the real. But we also teach to the ideal, and we got a lot to work for, folks. But a good, honest, moral American people cannot be stopped in our quest for liberty. We do believe that America's flag will be blown to the breeze when the Savior Jesus Christ returns. Welcome to the broadcast. This is a Christian nation, and this is a Christian broadcast. Never forget that positive reality. Now, a quick recap of Tuesday's and Wednesday's news. We never got that done yesterday, but it's important to understand the shows are available on demand for free at libertyroundtable.com, on your Alexa Echo devices, on the Roku player, on your phone, unlimited audio to listen on the Roku player. I mean, you can just listen everywhere nowadays, folks. It's cheaper than you can possibly imagine. All you got to do is buy an Echo Dot from Amazon. They were on sale for like $35 yesterday or the day before. Now they're like $50. I'm not sure if they went up or not. But either way, an internet radio that can do all kinds of things for you. Get the weather, read the news, order things online. You can just talk to it via the Alexa Echo application. But the Echo Dot, literally for under $50 now, you can have a internet radio that all you got to do is say, hey, Alexa, play Liberty News Radio from TuneIn. And man, it just starts playing the radio network. It's that simple. It's that inexpensive. And you can use it for many other reasons than just Liberty News, by the way. You can also say, hey, Alexa, play Liberty Roundtable from TuneIn. And it'll literally play the archived on-demand podcast. You can dial listen line and turn any phone into a radio, 712-432-5339. You can listen on your Roku player to live and on-demand radio. You can go to libertyroundtable.com for the archives, the podcast, libertynewsradio.com for the live streams and podcasts of the network. I mean, you just can't make it easier anymore, folks. It's too simple, too easy, too available, too opportunistic to ignore. All right, with that introduction, Trump warns Congress not to leave Washington, D.C. without a repeal of Obamacare before the August recess. Boy, is his warning being taken supposedly seriously. Yeah, now they're saying they're going to hold off on the recess. They're going to stay in Washington and work so hard for you. There's so much to do. And my response is, if there's so much to do, how come they've been stuck on stupid for like 8 months and have literally accomplished nothing? Representative Dave Brat says the first fix is to repeal Obamacare and work on a replacement later. Brat enthusiastically endorses the suggestions of Senators Rand Paul and Ben Sasse, just repeal now and work on it later. But see, no one's even paying attention to that idea. It's not even a serious discussion on Capitol Hill, folks. The House Freedom Caucus Chairman, Mark Meadows, says that a government shutdown is highly possible if proper funding for the U.S.-Mexico border wall doesn't happen. Yeah, Mo Brooks threatens a government shutdown if they don't get funding for the border wall. But I thought the border wall was going to be paid for by the Mexican government, not we the people. But now they're going to fleece the taxpayers for it. That's hour one on Tuesday's broadcast. Hour two, we had our guest on, Mr. Alan Phillips, VaccineRights.com, PandemicResponseProject.com. We talked about you're fired. Trump's VA terminates 500, suspends 200 for misconduct. Now, that sounds awesome, you know, with the suspension and the firings that you talk about, maybe 1,000 people tops. But did you know literally 350,000 people work for the VA? So it sounds like a big old thing, but it isn't. It doesn't even mean much. All right. We also talked about the appellate court denies parents state and constitutional rights regarding Catholic schools, Kurt, and that vaccine thing. Do you want to pick up on that real quick?
Well, that's a great point, Sam. And, you know, when you look at the, you know, the situations that we see, one of the things I wanted to bring up, ladies and gentlemen.
Stick with this Catholic story, though. Stick with
the
story.
You know, the Catholics have been, they've done great work when it comes to their private schools. There are so many different things. You know, I just... I know that in this story, if I remember right, the main thing that was going on is the priest was, well, he's retiring, but he was also suggesting that many of the reasons that they're kind of short on, I guess you could say, servants in the priesthood is that many of the men that this guy knew, they would have stayed if they could have been able to be married. And he suggests, like, I guess the first 1,000 years of the Catholic Church, that, you know, that's the way it ought to be, you know, married priests.
And the way that it used to be.
Yeah, that's what he was saying, that that's the way that was. And he's seen many, many instances where... people of other faiths who were, he felt, pretty effective in their, I guess you could say, service to the people,
yeah.
Even when they have a wife, you know.
Yeah, so we ought to return to marriage for Catholics, and this guy's standing up mentioning, so we had two headlines on the Catholic discussion. One of them was about that they say priests ought to be able to be married men, which, by the way, I agree with, but you know what? The Catholic Church has self-determination just like other churches as well. So let them worship how, where, or what they may, but we thought it was a good idea and support that. Secondarily, though, there was this vaccination story that Alan Phillips was talking about relating to the Catholic Church. And what you got is the government saying parents don't have rights over children and that Catholic churches can demand vaccinations. Now, the problem with that whole discussion is you got the government in the middle of it, first of all, so get the government out of it. Secondly, parents have the right of self-determination for themselves and their children. We agree with that, but the problem is the Catholic Church, if it's a private school, they can decide if they want that to be one of their entrance requirements or if they'll accept conscientious objector and or religious exemptions as well. So that's a recap that took place on Tuesday. Now, Wednesday's show, yesterday's show, we had our guests on. There was two of them. Andrea Parker, wife of Eric Parker, was guest one. Tim Starks was guest two for the first hour. And we talked about the Bundy trial versus the Bureau of Land Management, or BLM. And I guess the case opens again. It's the retrial case with jury selection that took place, Tuesday and Wednesday. Prosecutors are unable to prove conspiracy in the Bundy cases. Prosecutors asked to retry the gunman before the Bundys go to trial, which is kind of a sad scenario. What they're trying to do is stack the deck and get prosecutions and create kind of a steamroller guilt by association scenario. Court denies Clive and Bundy's petition for different attorney. Yeah, court literally bars Bundy Ranch attorney Larry Klayman from defending the clients. Now, it turns out that we had people on the ground in Nevada yesterday reporting in, and they said that Larry Klayman walked into the courtroom. So that's good news. But the fact that he's being denied, and the fact that Cliven can't pick his attorney, there's railroading going on in this case big time. That was hour one. Hour two, we had on Deborah Jordan. She's the co-host of the Pete Santilli Show. And then Andrea Parker continued with us. And we talked about the Fully Informed Jury Association, how critical it is for that to come across in these cases. We need jury nullification. FIJA, or FIJA.org, is where you learn more about the Fully Informed Jury Association. We talked about the final story, which is a good news piece. Dozens of strangers formed a human chain and saved a family from drowning at Panama City Beach in Florida. I guess there was a riptide undercurrent that was about to take some people down and kill them. And some quick-acting strangers created a human chain and saved everybody. Phenomenal news. We need more of that. That's metaphoric. or whatever you want to call it, symbolic of what we ought to be doing in America across the country with all kinds of issues. So there's that. That's a recap of the broadcast that took place Tuesday and Wednesday. Thursday's news that the networks refused to use broadcast starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome, my friend. And we got a barn burner bunch of broadcast news as news that the networks refuse to use today starts now right after the pause. Your calls as well at 866-986-NEWS. Coming up, you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
And your calls are welcome across the country at 866-986-6397. That's 866-986-NEWS. Join the broadcast if you choose. Kevin from Utah wants to do that. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Sam. Great to be on the radio with you. I listened to your show yesterday,
yes,
and
sir.
I think it's great that you're covering the Bundys. I've always had a soft spot, even though I don't agree with their tactics. I think that you're absolutely right. If we are lackadaisical about what they're doing to them, it could be us next. You're absolutely correct, which is a big reason why I sympathize with them from day one, despite me not agreeing with the text. But I want to ask you a question, though. I know that you're a Mormon, and I am too. What do you make of the church condemning the Bundy's actions at the Malheur Ranch or the Malheur Refuge?
All right, let's break things down one piece at a time. Number one, I don't speak for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I am a member, but I'm not in leadership in the sense that I speak for the church. So what I say is my own statements, not church statements of any kind. Let's be very clear about that. Just because I'm a member, that doesn't mean that I speak for the church. I speak for Sam Bushman. I might speak for Liberty Roundtable, etc., but that's really it. I don't even speak for Kurt. He can speak for himself. My take is this. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints clearly has a mission to promote Jesus Christ and to be witnesses of and testify of and bring people to Christ. That's their goal. And as such, they want to remain true and strict to that mission. And one of the core doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is, you know what, we believe in upholding and sustaining the law. And so, you know, when they take over a refuge or go into a refuge armed, You know what? The church is going to say that's breaking the law, and we stand against that. And you know what? I agree with the church on that. That's why I disagreed with Ammon Bundy. When Ammon wanted to go have a peaceful rally, I literally went to Oregon with Kirk Crosby and Richard Mack and others, and we participated in that rally. So I support free speech. I support the right to rally and protest and peacefully assemble. I get it, and I agree. The second, though, you start arming yourself and taking over buildings, now we can debate whose buildings they are. You know, Ammon would say, well, they're not federal buildings in the first place. I agree with Ammon on that. I agree with Ammon on most of his points. Mainly, his point is the government has become lawless in many ways. These rogue agents in government are out of control. What are we to do, asks Ammon, and he's right. And so I agree the checks and balances are violated. We have rogue agents in government that are criminal, and I agree they're a problem. But my response to Ammon Bundy is two wrongs don't make a right. Stooping to the low of breaking the law just because they're breaking the law doesn't fix a thing. In fact, it just puts people behind bars, and now they're not able to fight for freedom. Let me give you a quick example. Ammon Bundy was doing quite well with a lot of his businesses before he went to jail. Now his family's struggling to even survive, okay? And it, you know what? If he was doing well with his businesses, he could have funded Liberty News Radio and kept us alive. Now we struggle for funding. Now we have less Americans fighting for freedom. And now a lot of our dollars and our time is all spent on just trying to, you know, to care for Ammon, to get him out of jail. Now, do I think he's wrongly in jail? Yes, I do. I don't think he belongs in jail at all. Do I think what he did was wrong? Yes, I do. Do I think the church is right in saying, look, we don't support breaking the law? Yes, I do. So, you know what? I agree with Ammon. His points are, his cause is just. His actions are, in my opinion, unacceptable. And the church is merely standing, saying, look, just because one of our members went and did something, Ammon's a Mormon also, that doesn't mean that we, the church, go along with it. We condemn that. You need to obey the law, Ammon. And I believe if Ammon would obey the law, there's better ways to fight for freedom than Ammon's actions show. And I think there's a lot of good being done when good people do good things. And so, you know, then the Ammon people would come back and say, Sam, but what you don't understand is Ammon and others were not guilty, says the jury in Oregon. And I agree with that. That's why I say that I don't disagree with a lot of what they've done. When we say breaking the law, though, you know, we get into a very fuzzy discussion between these checks and balances, between the federal government and the states, between a county sheriff and the federal government, between all these unconstitutional agencies like the FBI and the local sheriff. You get all these problems of who's who in government and who plays the, quote, Trump card. And the problem is the innocent American who wants freedom is caught in the middle. And so I support the church's statement in saying we do not break the law. That's why I reject revolution. I reject secession. And I stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We need to obey the law, folks. And when people tell me, Sam, we've tried everything, you know what? You don't have the fortitude. Let's go to war, Sam. I say you're off your rockers, folks. War is not a pretty thing. Secession didn't work and doesn't work. Even though states have the authority to do so, that doesn't mean that it's a practical procedure. Holding government accountable is the answer. And Americans will say, Sam, we've just tried everything. And I disagree. When we try to do good things happen. Okay? When we're not involved, bad things happen. All right? It's that simple. And I see it time and time and time again. But you know what? I can run Liberty News Radio, Liberty Roundtable Live, which means one talk show plus a bunch of other talk shows, Liberty News Daily, and several other organizations that promote freedom, like the Freedom Coalition, like Give Me Liberty Fund. You know, I can run everything on less than $500,000 a year. Easy. And you know what? It wouldn't take much from each American to raise that kind of money and create stability for the organizations that we're working on. But we can't get Americans to participate in that. If it wasn't for Sam Bushman spending his own personal money and a couple of other like-minded Americans doing the same, we'd be off the air tomorrow. You can count on one hand, five people or less, that have literally funded to significant portions all of our efforts. So, you know what? I don't believe we've tried everything at all. Okay? How many people did we have at the Sam Girard sentencing? Maybe 500 people. Maybe 1,000. That's great. But we should have had 100,000. How much money is put into the Sam Girard defense fund to help him appeal the ruling? I don't know, but they're struggling for every penny. Okay, so Americans are not putting their money where their mouth is. Americans are not putting their time into the sacred cause of liberty. And therefore, when Ammon says, what are we to do? His point's right. And what Ammon chooses to do and what I choose to do are completely different things. Other than that, our prayers are with Ammon, but we stand with the rule of law and the peaceful restoration of what made America great. And unless we become a moral people, we're not going to save America at all. And so there are solutions. You got to know where to look, and you got to embrace the ones that are working, that take action in a peaceful way, and actually amount to making things better, not adding fuel to the fire. That's my comments on it, Kurt. You want to comment, and then we'll go back to Kevin.
I think you've covered it well enough. That's all I can think of.
All right. I mean, you're free to disagree. I don't speak for you or anybody else, just myself. Yeah, I don't speak for the church or anybody. Kevin, what's your thought on that response?
Well, I think it was good. I think the church came out and condemned the actions for reasons that what you said, and this might be a little deep going back into church history, and then I want to say something else. I also wonder if the church is trying to distance themselves from the past. You had Ezra Taft Benson. Now, I like Ezra Taft Benson, great man. He had a lot of good points in his politics. I've listened to a lot of his political speeches. Do you think that, well, I know you said you can't speak for them, but I wonder if they were trying to distance themselves.
I can give an opinion. I don't think so, because nothing Ezra Taft Benson advocated for was breaking the law. They may not be as patriotic as him. In other words, the church has seasons of focus for things. Now they're focusing on building Mormon temples. They're focused on family history more than they might be on politics of the day, so to speak. So there's no doubt different leaders have different focuses and different things that God inspires them to do. But I don't think in any way they're distancing themselves from standing for the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, standing for the proper role of civic duty and responsibility of Americans being engaged in morality issues and political issues of the day, to stand for religious freedom, etc. I don't think they're backing away from those things in any way. They might have a little bit of a softer focus based on the delivery of different leaders. For example, you know, Rush Limbaugh compared to Sam Bushman's a pretty soft delivering talk show host. So no doubt there's differences of the way people deliver and interact and what their focus are based on their own personal passions, based on revelation from God or a variety of things. But I don't see a distancing from the proper role of limited government in any way. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints literally has spoken out over and over and over on these issues. They've been very clear about issues of morality and religious freedom. They've been very clear about our responsibility to get involved in our civic duties. They're very focused on moral issues, and they stay out of the political arena. They don't pick parties. They don't give you direct guidance on who to vote for, any of those things. They never really have. That hasn't changed. And so all I'm saying is I don't see a distancing at all, Kurt. Do you?
No. In fact, at least in my opinion, I've never seen anything that where they come out and say those words weren't good words, or you know, we didn't agree with them. In fact, I think many times you can see some support for those, but you got to look for it.
Yeah, but and again, you know, sometimes it's a little bit parabolistic, Kevin, and I'll explain that when we come back from the pause, let you respond, and then we'll let you fly and go to other callers. 866-986-NEWS. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Seattle, Washington has become quite a socialist haven. The city council imposed a $15 minimum wage on businesses. Many restaurants had to close down. Now the city council has approved a proposal to impose a 2.25% income tax on people who make above $250,000 a year. While the tax is estimated to bring in about $14 million, it could cost $10 million to $13 million to implement. After that, it would cost $5 million to $6 million to manage and enforce that tax on very, very, very wealthy people. At Panama City Beach, Florida, about 80 passersby figured out how to save 9 members of a family in the process of drowning. The 80 beachgoers formed a human chain under the direction of a woman named Jessica Simmons. These people are not drowning today. It's not happening. We're going to have to help them, she shouted. While Simmons and her husband swam out to the family, 80 people formed a human chain stretching more than 100 yards into the water. Simmons and her husband passed the struggling family members through the chain to safety. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. If you want a win-win opportunity for patriots, we present a solution. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, thefreedomcoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So I do not speak for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but I do have some pretty good observations. I am a member in good standing in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I support them completely. And Kevin, caller from Utah, asked, you know, hey, do you think the church is distancing themselves from former leaders' statements and or kind of, you know, jettisoning politics, etc.? No, I don't think so. But I do think that they are providing clarity in a very parabolistic way. And I know that sounds, you know, confusing. Let me explain. There's a difference between moral issues and politics. You don't need politics to solve everything. Sometimes we think politics is all-encompassing. And man, if it's not political, then it can't be doing any good. See, I couldn't disagree with that more. In fact, I think most things are not political. In fact, if you want my pure opinion, I don't believe there's anything called politics. That's just a deceptive way to talk about compromise and to you know, jettison principles, etc. There's nothing political here, okay? There's nothing divisive here. It's all about God, family, country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property when it comes to America. It's not political, okay? It's about preserving moral character in individuals and families and ultimately societies, right? And you know what? The church just says we're not getting into parties and taking sides. We're not doing all that political stuff. We're just standing on moral principle. And frankly, the proclamation on to the world was written by leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in 1995. It's the proclamation on the family to the world, okay? You can go look it up. It's a great document, by the way. And the reason I bring this up is it was written well after President Benson passed away. Now, let me ask you this. Is it a political statement? Well, some would say no, and I would agree. It's a statement of morality and a positioning of God's law regarding the fundamental unit of society, the family, about who we are, about God's plan for us as his children, etc. It's not political at all. In fact, it's a moral statement of family and God, not necessarily country at all. Except for country tends to be a reflection on individuals who form God's fundamental unit of society, families, and their relationship to God reflects on the country or the population or a society at large. So is the proclamation on the family a political statement? I say no. Others would say, oh yeah, it's very political. It says that God created male and female, and defines male roles and female roles, and it's very genderistic, if you will. It basically talks about women and men have different roles. It's very, some would say, chauvinistic, if you want to go down that political rabbit hole. I would say no. It's setting out the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, revelations and guidance from God on moral principles and the proper roles of families. And the prophetic reality, if we obey God's laws regarding families and marriage, the blessings that'll come. And if we don't, the trouble we're guaranteed going to have. Is that political? Or is that a revelatory reality statement? So it becomes very parabolistic depending on what level you're at. If you're just stuck into the political mire, then it's an incredibly political statement. I mean, it's in-your-face politics. At the same time, if you stand up and say, wait a minute, this is a moral discussion, of course religious leaders speak about God's laws and families, then it becomes a very, in my opinion, valiant stand for the fundamental need of society, the family, and the solutions to every problem we face in that document is in my opinion, covered or encompassed. So it's very parabolistic. Depending on your level of knowledge or your spirituality or whatever you want to say, you can get out of that document what you need. Either it's a very hostile political document or it's a very solutions-oriented document based on God's laws and morality and how we as individuals and families can obtain God's blessings. I tend to think that's the case. It's a moral document, not a political document. So are they backing away? I don't think so. But it might be a position of clarity and a direction that, you know what, we don't need to make everything divisionary. We can unite on principles that save, that have solutions. Whether you're black or white or tall or short or fat or skinny or religious or not or left or right or Democrat or Republican, look, if you obey these principles in the proclamation to the world on the family, written literally in 1995, well after political leaders spoke out politically, but yet way before our time now. In other words, it's 22 years old now, right? Okay. You find that that document can really unite a lot of people if you're truly desiring to make things better. Now, if you just want to melt down on politics and do the Hatfields and the McCoys, then maybe it's not the document for you. But if you really want solutions, in my opinion, it's the blueprint for success for God and family and ultimately the country, which mirrors the former two. Now, that's just my take. Anything to add to that, Kurt?
No, I would say you got that covered.
Kevin?
I just want to add two more things real quick. The reason I wondered if they were backing themselves away from politics in the past, I understand, and I've heard from pretty reliable sources, President Hinckley's politics were more liberal than Ezra Taft Benson's. I don't know if that's true, but I've heard that on good authority.
Well, it's hard to say that, and here's what I mean by that is I don't know what liberal and conservative means. They both agree on core doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They both agree on general conservative principles, meaning that they stand against abortion. They stand for pro-life. They believe in religious liberties and freedoms. Okay, so what I mean is that on the core, I know religiously and morally they agree. In fact, all the church leaders really agree there. They might have differing of opinions. For example, James E. Faust was a Democrat. Ezra Taft Benson was a very conservative, you might say a Republican, but he was more independent. Some of them are Republicans. When James E. Faust was asked about that, about him being a Democrat, he said, well, now I work for the Lord and I'm above partisan politics, was kind of his response. And so, you know, I don't know about individuals' opinions on every doctrine or every jot and tittle of politics or whatever, nor do I really care. Because what happens if we're not careful with that is we tend to read into people's beliefs and things that we don't really know. In other words, we're in too much guesswork land. Number one. And number two, I'm not so sure that it matters if you weigh that against these documents like the Proclamation on the Family or Proclamation to the World on the Family. Those cover so many of the fundamental basics to where we have 95% agreement to where I don't even know that the day-to-day approach differences even matter, Kevin.
Yeah. One more thing I want to bring in, then I know you need to get to other topics. I think, back to Clive Bundy, do you think he would have been more effective had he sold his property and maybe kept his house or something and formed a coalition of ranchers and gone out and spoke around the country with all these ranchers? And then
yes and no. What I mean by that is Cliven's been fighting this and many other ranchers have been fighting this for literally generations. If you go study the Wayne Haig family, Wayne Hague has now passed away, but he was fighting the federal government about this, and his daughter, Mrs. Hague, now is still fighting this battle. And literally the federal government said to the, let me say this, the judge in the case said to the federal government, you know what, you're guilty literally of racketeering. And stood with the Wayne Hague family. The judge did. You go study the case, you'll find out the court really beat up the federal government big time. But now the federal government doesn't obey the law. It just continues to run over ranchers. So, you know what? Back in the early days, there was 50-plus ranchers. Now they're all driven out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have is a continually dismantling of the proper role of limited government, the continued violation of the checks and balances that made America great. And as long as we remain an immoral people as a whole, I don't see it getting any better. I see it just getting worse. And it doesn't matter what Cliven Bundy does. He can sell his house, keep his house, be a rancher, this, that. What I mean by that is, you know what? He's going to lose freedoms because of the immorality of the nation. And if we, the people, don't keep government in check and balance properly, we're going to be in trouble. And, you know, whether, you know, what happens when Liberty News Radio goes away? Or Liberty News Daily goes away because nobody will fund it. Then you might say, well, would Sam have been better off to sell his house and fund the radio station and keep it alive himself? Or would, and you know what? Those individualistic decisions are something between an individual and a family and God. They got to do what inspires them and what they feel best about doing. But when it comes to the country, I think there's a lot of people doing a lot of good things, and I think we got to support the good they do. And I'm not so sure that I can gauge what would have been better for, say, Cliven Bundy to do or not. I know this. He should not break the law. And I know that more Americans need to stand for liberty and put their money where their mouth is. And if those things happen, good things are going to occur. I can tell you that right now. When we turn to God and repent, biblically speaking, he promises us he will protect us and heal our land. What more could we ask for? So the solutions are incredibly simple, and I can't dictate what each family or person should do per se. I believe I'm doing what God asks me to do. But others say, Sam, you ought to get off the radio and run for office. Sam, you ought to do this. Sam, you ought to do that. And you know what? I don't receive revelation for them, and I don't believe they receive revelation for me. And so each person's got to do what they think is best. But I know this. The more we turn to God and repent, the more we're on our knees praying to God and then getting up and working like it's up to us, the more we find out what God wants us to do and do it, the more we put our money where our mouth is, the better off we will all be. That's what I need to find out for myself and my family. That's what Kurt needs to do. That's what you, Kevin, need to do. Every one of us is in the same boat. And the plan may not be the same for each of us. Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, there you have it. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds, ladies and gentlemen.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, the guy's name is Brad Sherman. He's a congressman, Democrat from California. And without support from his own party, Representative Brad Sherman introduces articles of impeachment against Donald Trump for obstruction of justice. I kid you not. What do you think of that, Kurt?
I think he's, I guess you could say, a lone man now out there crying in the wilderness. But, you know, I mean, it's, I guess you could say, more theater going
Amen
on.
Amen to that. House Resolution H.R. 438. If you want to go ahead and, you know, back that thing. He doesn't even have backing from his own party, though. He's only got one co-sponsor on it. So it's not going anywhere, really. But the reason we bring it up is because it is the first time that someone's literally filed articles of impeachment on Donald Trump since he's taken office. So that's kind of interesting. Now, Rand Paul is speaking out boldly against the latest healthcare incarnation. Rand Paul stands up in Breitbart News, writes an op-ed piece, doing a great job, Rand Paul. I appreciate his clarity on the issue. He says two statements that say it all, in my opinion, Kurt. Rand Paul, they're keeping Obamacare. The new bill is the same as the old bill, and he's against it. It's not repeal at all, says Rand. Other senators are silent so far. The bill's supposed to come out today, be marked up by the budget committees, hear about it on Monday, and vote on it next week. Donald saying don't leave town till you get this done. But Mitch McConnell and others are selling us down the river with the same old Kurt. And so Rand Paul standing very boldly against it, writing a piece in Breitbart, doing a great job on it. His two statements, though, is look, they're keeping Obamacare. They're breaking their promise. And you know what? The new bill is the same as the old bill. They're just tinkering with things. But at the core, you still got Obamacare. In fact, in many cases, they're expanding government health care. And the Republicans, even though they have control of the House, the Senate, the White House, the courts, they're betraying the people and breaking their promise at election time, which was they're going to repeal Obamacare. The House voted 40-plus times to do it when they knew that it wouldn't go anywhere. But now that they have the real opportunity to do so, they're stuck on stupid and they're breaking their promises. Anyway, Rand Paul doing a great job speaking out on this, Kurt. He's providing the most clear voice for true repeal and not going along to get along and not selling us and selling us out and breaking the promise. He's probably the most clear voice there so far, at least when it comes to leadership or elected representatives or whatever term you want to use. Rand Paul standing up very boldly, and good for him.
Yeah, I guess he was on what's called Fox and Friends this morning.
Of course he is. He loves the mainstream press.
He said that he remains a no vote on the Senate health care bill because he says it will not deliver on his promise to repeal Obamacare. Brian Kilmeade, I guess that must be some guy from that program, asked Paul why. If the bill is an improvement on Obamacare,
he
won't
stuck on stupid.
It.
I don't know why you'd ask why, because it breaks a promise he made. That's why. Do I need to say that? How many times, Brian?
Seemed like he already answered it. He said, I don't know that this is better than Obamacare, is what Rand said. Adding that the fundamental flaw of the Affordable Care Act would remain in place. He said the bill would create a $200 million bailout super fund for insurers, which will subsidize the death spiral instead of fixing it. Paul argued that the fundamental flaw of Obamacare was that young, healthy people are not buying insurance, knowing they can get coverage in the event they become sick. We have these regulations that make it really expensive for young, healthy people. I can't vote for something that doesn't repeal Obamacare and doesn't fix it, said Paul.
So there you have it. Good for Rand Paul. But again, they're stuck on stupid. And I think, you know, they're not going to get this done, Kurt. They're just going to be stuck on stupid. And I'm telling you that I think Republicans are going to pay at the polls big time for this. They've done nothing since they've taken control of literally everything. They've had their best shot at it, and they're absolutely failing, and they know it. They're trying to supposedly not go back to their constituents. That's why they're getting rid of the, you know, August recess or whatever, because they know full well, facing their constituents, they're canceling town hall meetings all over the place. They don't know what to say. They're just not honorable, Kurt. So there you have it. All right. I don't know if you know who Robert James Ritchie is, Kurt. You know who that guy is?
No.
What if I said Kid Rock? Would you know then?
I've heard of him. I think I saw a picture of him. But is he a musician? Or
yes,
what does
he is.
Do?
He's a musician, a singer. Kid Rock is his
You
nickname.
Like his music?
Oh, it's okay.
All
Robert
right.
James Ritchie is his real name, but Kid Rock is his moniker. He launched a new website, KidRockForSenate.com, and Kid Rock did take to Twitter because a lot of people are going, ah, is this thing for real? And Kid Rock came out and said, yes, he clarified that it was authentic. So he's putting together a bid to run for Senate, Kurt. Now, he was one of the people that went to the Trump event with Donald. So it was Ted Nugent, who we've had on this program many times, Kid Rock and Sarah Palin. They were all hanging out at the White House with the Donald and crew. Ted Nugent came on this program and reported the details of that event. And now Kid Rock's running for Senate. So kind of an interesting twist. He was a Trump supporter. And he was a Romney supporter in the past as well. So there you go.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. They also say Christmas in July didn't exactly happen, Kurt. On Tuesday, it was called Amazon Prime Day. And they say lots of deals, but few steals. USA Today wrote the piece. And they're basically saying that, you know what, there was a lot going on, but there wasn't really near the discounting and the kind of the Black Friday idea or Cyber Monday idea. It wasn't a lot of steals available. There was some good deals on a couple of things, but most of the real good deals were Amazon-centric products, and it wasn't near the discounts people were hoping for. But it still chalked up a bunch of sales, Kurt.
Did you order some new stuff, Sam?
I ordered a second Echo Dot.
And that's those ones that were like $35 or
yes,
whatever.
Because if you
so
get
you
an
can
internet
have a
radio,
dot in each room.
Well, that's what some people are doing. I'm putting a dot in two different rooms. Yeah.
There you go.
Because then that way I can check on Liberty News Radio and I can listen to music and I can find out the weather and the news. And you know, there's a lot you can do with them. They're pretty neat. You ought to get one.
Well, I'm always thinking about it. Just didn't get it done.
You better hurry if you want that big old, you know, special deal there, Kurt.
Yeah.
All right. InfoWars crew is now announcing a breaking news piece. Democrats are calling for criminal investigations of InfoWars, Drudge, and Breitbart. Kurt, did you see this?
Wait, you said InfoWars is announcing a breaking piece with Breitbart and...
Well, no, InfoWars is announcing this breaking news.
Okay, what is it?
And the breaking news is that Breitbart, Drudge, and InfoWars, that the Democrats are calling for criminal investigations into those groups.
Huh. Who's going to investigate them?
I don't know. The Democrats are calling for investigations. I don't know if they'd set up a panel or if it would be Robert Mueller or if it would be, I mean, I just don't know who. If they'd create.
So these would be media that is not always that complimentary of the Democrats, so they're wanting to go after studying up on these guys, right?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
So if it's good for the goose?
It would be good for the gander, so maybe we ought to investigate NPR and... You know,
that's
a lot of the socialist realms. But again,
I
all this is partisan politics, though, Kurt. What the Democrats fail to understand.
Came into that.
And what Breitbart and you know, Drudge and InfoWars fail to understand is, look, it's really us against the insiders. This is not a Republican-Democrat issue. And the whole problem I have with this story is that the InfoWars says Democrats call for criminal investigation of InfoWars, Breitbart, and Drudge. Now, the problem that I have with that, though, Kurt, is I think the Democrats may be calling for it, but the Republicans are just as involved as the Democrats. It's the insiders against the rest of us that's really going on. And so I don't like it to be a partisan discussion. We used to say the Democrats are for Obamacare and the Republicans want to get rid of Obamacare. Well, now you know that's a lie, right? The Republicans don't want to get rid of Obamacare, Kurt. They just wanted you to believe it was a partisan issue.
You just got to remember which Republican.
Well, the ones that matter.
Republican.
The ones that control the stage, Kurt.
Good point. The Kingman Republicans.
That's right. And so it's not a Republican or a Democrat discussion. It's an insider discussion versus us, is my point. Now, to make the point a little more poignant, to prove my point a little further, in other words, I'm going to find this news piece here. I got like 3,000 emails, and now I've lost my place here.
No problem. There's
an article.
There are quite a few.
That is, all right, the headline says, the FEC, that's the Federal Election Commission, right, Kurt?
That's right.
The headline says, the FEC has kept documents about Democrats secret for years. Posted by Ethan Barton from the Daily Caller. Now, listen carefully to this. We're talking about details about taxpayer-funded, foreign-funded travel. Now, remember, the FEC, Kurt, includes three commissioners from the Democrats and three commissioners from the Republicans.
I thought it was just five, so that whatever you had, whoever was the dominant party, the president's party, then they could choose the three, and then they had
Well, look
two,
it up. They say in this article that there's three from each party.
Okay, good.
Well, now, here's the point, though. It might be five, but they might swap, and sometimes there's, two Democrats and three Republicans, and sometimes there's three or two Republicans and three Democrats or whatever. I don't know. You'll have to look that up. You can answer that next hour. But the point is that you would say, okay, well, what's up with that? Well, the headline says the FEC, Federal Election Commission, has kept documents about Democrats secret for years, what you're calling taxpayer foreign-funded travel. Wait a minute, what about Republicans? See, they're playing a political divide game here that doesn't fly. If it's Republicans and Democrats that are covering it up, if you study, you'll find out that inside Republicans, as well as Democrats, have been taking advantage of this travel. And why would we say it's Democrats? But the bottom line is they've denied FOIA requests. They've literally played games. Now they've got caught at it by some investigative folks. So there you have that. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com.